You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here. And you can tune in to the all-new episode of Inside the Cleveland Browns tonight at 7 p.m. on SportsTime Ohio. We'll give you some good fun stories, break down Craig Robertson's punt deflection, how that play was set up on the practice field as well. Lots of good stuff there in this one, so definitely check it out tonight at 7 on SportsTime Ohio, Inside the Cleveland Browns with yours truly and Sarah Carnes. All right, Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm back with you here from the Dog Bowl in Berea, getting you ready for the Browns and the Bengals tomorrow. We've got Dino in a truck. What's up, Dino?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Hey, I got a question that's directed more towards Matt, and it's concerned with me over the salary of NFL players. I've always had a problem with why is it that football players get far less, in my eyes, than a baseball player, where they get more of a beating. I mean, their careers are shortened dramatically more than a baseball player. And you figure with NFL revenue towards television and all that, you figured a lot of the players would have more of a lucrative deal. Why is it that it doesn't seem that way?
Well, for a lot of those same reasons that you just said, because, again, there's the baseball players are more of a sure thing because they don't have the concussions. They don't have the impact and wear and tear on their body. And also, too, is it's you got to figure it's spread between 53 players, which is the most of any major sport, as opposed to, I believe, baseball at 25, basketball at 12 or 13, even hockey at 25. So the money is spread more thin. And then we also, too, play the shortest season. You know, we play the shortest season. So, again, that's why you see that salary cap continue to go up, because as we continue to generate more money, you know, even still for those 16 games, you see guys make more money, but the guaranteed contracts are because of all those listed reasons that you said and many more that we could probably make a whole show out of.
And it's tough because ultimately it is the riskiest sport. The career is the shortest and everything like that. But I think it's a matter of, you know, only 16 games and 53 guys, big rosters, as you pointed out.
Right. And one other point that I'd like to make is also, too, is I think that I believe that college football creates the best farm system of any, or most competitive farm system of any major sport. You know, hockey kids are getting drafted out of high school. Basketball used to be the same, but college basketball is not quite the same. There are, no. You know, there's so many question marks, you know, drafted in the first round, guys you've never heard of, guys from overseas. So I think that keeps it, so it's ultimately very competitive as well, which is why, you know, guaranteed contracts are minimal at best.
Yeah, minimal at best is exactly right. And obviously, you know, when you make an investment in somebody in football, it's also a tough thing because in basketball, you hit your prime and you can stay in your prime for a long time. Baseball, you can stay in your prime for a long time. It's a short window in the NFL, other than really at the quarterback position. And those are the guys who get contracts that look like baseball contracts.
Right. And I've said that all along, even for a guy like Brandon Whedon to bring his name up for a hot second is I just said he's going to probably play another 3 or 4 years. Because I said the quarterback position in the NFL is a lot like, a 6'10 or a 6'9, 6'10 power forward in the NBA. They might not have the skills, you know, to play or consistently, but they're going to make $3 million on a roster
or
in the NBA
for eight to ten
years simply because they're 6'10 and you can't teach that. And I think the quarterback is that one position on a roster that, you know, when a guy comes up and they essentially have the tools to have made it, they will stay in the league for 3 to 5 years at the bottom of a roster or as a backup in this league.
That is what they do, no question. Let's go to Dick in Sandusky now. Dick, welcome to the show. Let's go then to Scott in Canton.
Hey, guys. Greetings from the Hall of Fame City. How you doing today?
Awesome,
good,
man.
How are you?
Good to have you.
Great, man. Hey, I think my man in Dallas needs to get on a mood stabilizer.
Right? Somebody give that guy a massage or something. Help him out. Chill him out.
But anyways, you guys were talking about being a team sport, you know, and it is cool. It is a team sport, but I sure do miss Chad Johnson and Terrell Owens when they get in the end zone there and do their thing, man. That's awesome.
And I agree with you, and I agree. I feel that there should be absolutely no celebration penalties in the NFL. I think when guys are going out there and literally risking life and limb, and you practice so hard and everything that goes into, you know, getting to be around a building and seeing what really goes into a game plan for just one given week and how hard it is to score a touchdown in the NFL, you should be able to do whatever you want. I think the fans like it. I would like it. I don't care. You want to dunk a basketball at the goalpost? fine. Don't mess the goalpost up. I get that because that delays the game. But if you want to go out there and dance and you want to get creative and do whatever you want, and you guys, you want to get the whole 11 guys on offense to do it, that's fine. If you don't like it, stop it.
Right. It's so true. And you know what? I didn't even think about that. Even just in regards to the guy's comments, that in itself, you know, when one person celebrates or they have their own personal celebration that they do every time they make a play is individualized. That's me saying, hey, everyone, look at me, which was the point I was trying to make by playing in prime time, you know, doing something special or unique. But you're so right. I mean, I love it, and there was nothing better than, for me, it was like, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson doing his little flip or Sean Merriman do the lights out, you know, hitting the switch. It was something that you feel like when someone gets a sack, in Merriman's case, or LT runs for a touchdown, it's like, you feel like you had your hand in that by getting a turnover to lead him to the opportunity or getting a three and out or getting the ball back. Then the offense goes and does its job and scores, and an opportunity to celebrate as a team, because I don't know who's – again, we know who's making the decision, but I would see a fan poll, you know, done from stadium to stadium on game day of who would like to see the celebrations. It would be a landslide with the number of fans that get a kick –
my dad would be against it. My dad would be like, he'd be like, like you've been there.
He's the 20%, you know, but I think 80% of people would want to vote for that because it brings something special. It brings the pizzazz. It brings the drama or excitement to the game of football.
Yes, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, strolls by the dog bowl with a big wave, big smile on his face. I think he's feeling good this week, and I like to see that. Makes me feel confident and good as well. Let's go to Mike in Youngstown now. Mike, welcome to CBD. Go to John in Dallas. This better be a nicer John from Dallas. John, represent your city better than the prior John from Dallas.
Most certainly. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, great, thanks. I listen to you guys every day.
Appreciate that.
I go walk my dog, which I'm doing right now, going for a little run. And, you know, every once in a while I'll hear that there's another John from Dallas. And I think that's interesting. And today, I was blown away. I'm like, what is that guy's problem?
I don't know. He was really angry about it. I'm like, special tape.
Tell me how you really feel.
And, you know, here's the deal is, you know, everybody gets excited, uptight, generally about the Manziel Hoyer thing. And for him to start out on that, I was shocked.
I was as well. I was.
Anyways, from now on, when I call in, I'll be Johnny D from Dallas.
Johnny D. Yes, good.
Hey, guys, you guys are awesome. Thank you. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Enjoy the walk, Johnny D.
And another point is, again, if you were, and you'll see this here momentarily, you see guys and how they dress for road trips normally, okay? And all these guys who spend thousands of dollars on suits and Gucci this and Louis that and, you know, ostrich boots and all these other great things. The guys that will get on this bus, if they have to wear a suit or a jacket or whatever, will just have a little bit more pizzazz in their attire, getting on this bus on their way to the airport to sit on a plane because they want to look a certain way. And it's that old, you know, that old saying, you know, look good, play good, you know, and they feel like it starts when you walk out of this building. So if they look good here, and that's my point where I was coming from. Guys will have their special suit because they know there's going to be an NBC camera or an NFL Network camera on them getting off the bus, you know, tomorrow to walk into the Bengal Stadium.
It's funny because one of the guys I learned a lot about from NFL fashion from was Nate Burleson, who had a brief tenure here with this team, had his own fashion line. And yes, he would note that there were certain situations. He'd bring it every week.
Sure.
But
and
then
guys,
you're gonna step it up. I mean, I remember going back to like my amateur days. You know, there were games, and then there was like the big game when
right.
you knew school would be sold out and all everybody would be there. The honeys would be there, and you'd want to have like in the warm up, you'd have like maybe a little extra bounce in the layup line. You might give them a little what? You
right.
know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and that's what I mean. Like,
just get yourself hyped up.
If Joe Hayden is a fashion type of guy too, and he has a personal stylist, you can't tell me that a personality like that, it just doesn't turn on a switch and turn it off. He goes to a stylist like, I got to look fresh going to Cincy because that's going to be a big game and everybody's looking. And all I'm saying is that carries over to the football field well.
Very well. Very well. I like everybody likes the ball out. There's
right?
nothing wrong with it.
It's a good thing. The fact that you're playing, you know, in prime time and instead of guys just showing up and looking the same because they're 1-7, you're 5-3. You should showcase the ability. All it does is make you look better and draw more attention to your team and what they're doing.
This is an opportunity to make a statement that will reverberate around the sports world in this country, which we know for a long time. The Browns have an opportunity to be the story Friday, Saturday, going into Sunday, where people are going to be like, what? The Browns just went to Cincinnati and whooped up on the Bengals. They're 6-3. What is going on in Cleveland?
And that will even carry over into the next week.
Of course.
Because Cleveland will get healthy. You know, they'll be talked about. There'll be no drama. You know, and they have another home game against the Houston Texans, which is a team that is struggling as well, which in everybody's eyes at that point at 6-3 will be like, huh, we'll be a favorite at home versus the Houston Texans at 6-3.
And it's a team that just made a quarterback change as well, going with Ryan Mallett when they returned from their bye to face the Browns. Matt, special segment here. The kid on hold.
The kid
making the drive to Cincinnati to see the Browns live. What up, kid?
It's a beautiful drive right now. I got to tell you, sunny, and I'd say about 53 degrees.
Beautiful.
59.
Are you okay with how close you are to Columbus right now?
I'm gonna hold my breath, Wilhelm. I'm gonna hold my breath. I made sure I got lunch before I went there. The next time I go to Columbus is gonna be, I'll go to a Buckeye game with Wilhelm. That'll be the next time I go to.
All right,
I'll make your life, bro.
My respect for Wilhelm will take you to the shoe.
There you go.
Interesting thing you said about Petty that brought something to my mind.
What's that?
The last 3 weeks, the pressure was on. We're supposed to win. And I think maybe the whole team, maybe from him on down, knew they were supposed to win and got a little tight. This week, you can come out all guns a-blazing because, let's face it, you're not expected to win.
That's a good point. The Browns were favored 5 games in a row. Now they find themselves as 6-point dogs in this one. And there is something freeing about that, isn't that, Matt?
There definitely is. And that can be built into the game plan as well. You know, more aggressive, different, you know, more aggressive. We already play an aggressive type of coverage, but more aggressive scheme, more aggressive fronts, more aggressive blitzing. You're going to err on the side of being aggressive and at this point, at 5-3, we're halfway through the season, you're betting on your guys and you're deviating from being safe to getting good, and that's when you take more chances.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose.
Because as strange as it might sound, I think the national perception of the Browns for the last 3 weeks has taken a step backwards because they looked so unimpressive. So now we can almost sneak up on people again.
I think that's a good point. Yeah, the loss of Jacksonville and then barely beating the Raiders, barely beating Tampa Bay, although the scores were better than, I guess, the games indicated when you watch them play out. Certainly the Oakland game, obviously, only beat Tampa by 5. But I think that's true, and I think there is something freeing for this coaching staff and for these players because it's not a game that everybody thinks we should win where we can't screw it up and give this one away. It's more like, all right, nobody thinks we're going to win this. Let's go out there and let's take this game.
You have to love that. You have to love that. And again,
play loose.
Everybody watching, play loose. You've got as a defender, you've got an aggressive game plan. And I think for us, the ability to run the football, I think that Kyle Shanahan should have these guys on the right track with an aggressive game plan to get out and run the football. And I always say it, it's my saying, impose your will on a defense that's giving up 140 yards on the ground as well. So finally find our little niche again in running the football, and that puts Brian Hoyer in a best case scenario to pick his spots and methodically, you know, dink and dunk and take that shot down the field.
Well, there's something else that they could do to get the run game going. When you got Walter Payton on the bench, put him in the game.
That's right, and he's referring to Isaiah Crowell. Ka-ka! The kid, you and I are on the same page there. I've been told that we should see some Crow this week. Will we see some Crow? I'm not sure, but I sure hope so. I'd love to. I think the guy's fantastic. Give him a chance.
And it's still time to kidnap Wilhelm and bring him to Cincy.
I know. Come on, Wilhelm.
I got a concert to get to tonight.
He's
got to
go to Usher, bro. He's got to go to Usher.
Usher did sing a nice rendition of the national anthem the other night.
At the Cavs opener. That was maybe the peak of that whole festivities.
It was. No, maybe about it. It was the peak.
Well, the kid, drive safe. I'll see you when I touch down in Cincinnati, man. Looking forward to a very right. raucous time.
Gentlemen, enjoy.
Thanks, bro.
All right, when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we will have Scott Petrek from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram with us, taking us up into the 2 o'clock hour. Willie Mack G, Willie McGinnis from the NFL Network at 2:30. More of your calls and tweets, and we'll answer these questions. What concerns us the most about the Bengals? The key matchup in the game, and we'll hand out our midway point MVP of the Cleveland Browns. It's all coming up in the second hour here on ESPN 850 WKNR.